to Anchors Away, the podcast that chronicles a landlocked new sailor's journey to finding freedom and adventure at sea. I'm your host, Todd Middlebrooks, and I welcome you along on my journey. In this logbook episode, we pick up on day 5 of our U.S. Virgin Islands sailing charter, where things go from bad to worse. I woke up early after a fairly good night of sleep on the saloon sofa at about 8:30 and realized that Aubrey and Brett had not gone on their planned dive after all. Salt Pond Bay was open to the swells and wind overnight, so our morning was a little rolly, though not too bad. After slowly getting going, having coffee, and a light breakfast, Brett contacted us about heading to Flanagan Island for a snorkel and dive stop. We were pretty much ready to go, so when we saw a pre-ski drop their mooring lines, we warmed up the engines and we did the same. Aubrey and Tripp dropped the mooring lines and pulled them in, and we were on our way. Exiting Salt Pond Bay was a little rough as we were heading right into the seas. When we turned towards Flanagan, the rollers improved a little bit, although they were hitting us on the beam, which made for a wild ride. Brett was ahead of us again and found an anchorage on Flanagan Island that worked well for them. He radioed and let us know that there was room beside him, so our plan was to ease up there. Flanagan Island was pretty well protected from the north side, from the southern swells, and the water was about 15 feet deep, perfect for anchoring. We eased up beside a pre-ski on their starboard side and prepared to drop anchor. I was attempting to pivot the boat to stay head to wind to make it easier to drop the anchor when we began to spin rapidly to starboard. The wind was funneling around the end of Flanagan Island, and I thought maybe it was picking up some speed and changing direction as it was hitting our hull. We circled around and made another attempt for the spot when the same thing happened again. As I was trying to reverse on the port engine, we rapidly spun to starboard yet again. Still thinking it was the wind, we attempted to anchor in another spot further back and away from the point of the island. Yet a third time, when I tried to pivot to port to stay on station, we spun even more rapidly to starboard. That's when I realized we had issues on the port engine. Whether the throttle level was pushed forward or reverse, the thrust was only forward. It appeared as though our clutch had become disengaged while the engine was in forward, and engine revs only propelled us in that direction. We were just off the rocky shore of Flanagan Island, rotating in circles, trying to figure out this issue. That's when I realized that you could not hear the transmission engage with that little click forward when coming out of neutral. The starboard engine was acting fine, but the port throttle was just free to move and only thrust forward. I knew right away that this was not going to be a quick fix, so I had Brett come over and pick up Aubrey and TJ so they could still have a good day while we worked on resolving the transmission issue. I attempted to call Dream Yacht and have someone come out, but on Sundays they close at 12. It was 12:15 when I called, and the guest services rep that answered the phone said that all the technicians were back in for the day. I even asked if they could assist us in returning to Compass Point, to which they said all of the same technicians are the ones that escort the boats back in, and they were off at 12. I was not happy with that answer, and said that we needed someone to assist us so that we could get back onto a mooring ball, or anchor, or into a marina. He insisted that since we had forward thrust and reverse on one engine, that this was not an emergency and we could make do until someone could get out tomorrow. Frustrated, I got off the phone with Dream Yacht and headed towards Francis Bay. This was our original destination for the night anyway, and I knew there was a lot of availability for mooring balls in that area, and that boats were spaced out pretty well, giving us a good chance to catch a mooring ball short-handed and with reverse only on one engine. Despite the issues we were having and my frustration, motoring across the north side of St. John was absolutely beautiful. The seas were calm and the weather was just about perfect. Even still, all I could think about was our technique for catching the mooring ball and getting tied off on the starboard side as quickly as possible, and then figuring out the port side later. My thoughts were also on what Francis Bay would look like boat-wise. As we rounded the corner of the cut just outside Francis Bay, we noticed quite a few boats in Maho, but only a handful in Francis Bay. To me, this was good news, and there were a lot of available balls that were away from other boats. They were also in line with one another, which would make it easy to move on to the next ball should we miss one. I very slowly approached the outermost blue National Park ball as we went over our plan and prepared to pick up the mooring. We were successful in grabbing the hook on the first attempt and fed the starboard line through and got it tied off quickly. This seemed like a success until the wind caught the hull and began to spin us around over the top of the mooring ball. We made two or three more loops before we could slow our spin with the starboard engine, create enough slack in the mooring eye, and then get the port side line through. We had already swapped out the port side mooring line since the thick gray one we'd been using was bulky and difficult to get onto a ball. However, this one was not in the best condition, and I planned to replace it as soon as we were on the ball successfully. After some trial, we were able to successfully get on the ball. It took a little bit of adjustment, but we finally settled in behind the ball, and the wind held us in place. A few days ago, I had seen a spool of new dock line in one of the forward lockers. Originally, I did not want to use it simply because it was someone else's line. However, I felt in order to safely hold us on the mooring ball, we needed new lines. So I pulled the spool out of the locker, and Tripp and I proceeded to measure off equal lengths of line and cut them. The ends freed immediately, so we had to get creative and use dental floss to wrap the ends until we cut it and then burned the ends together. After successfully burning the four ends of the new lines, I attempted to put one in place to replace the frayed mooring line. I got on the dinghy and went up front to feed the line through the eye and back, and it was a good 8 to 10 feet short of getting back to the cleat and being able to tie it off. While we had done a good job with cutting the new lines, they were way too short. So I resolved that these would make good stern lines, and I placed them there as such. Still not feeling great about the port mooring line, I just backed it up with the gray line for now. Shortly after getting situated, Brett, a pre-ski, and their crew rounded the corner of the cut at Francis Bay with a loud, "Ahoy, Captain!" They eased past us and headed over to Maho Bay and picked up a mooring ball pretty close to the beach. Brett shot me a text that they were going to the beach to throw around the ball and invited us to join them. After tinkering for another hour, I decided we should head over as well. We took our mooring ball payment to the National Park pay station, dropped it in the box, and headed to the beach with painkillers we had made from our new provisions at Red Hook. We dinghied onto the beach where we found some of Brett's crew as they had kind of dispersed. Aubrey and TJ were playing in the water. Brett was still in the water, skipping his ball, Robert was snorkeling, and Jess was walking down the beach with three bottles of rum. They had run out of rum for painkillers and went to the store in Maho Crossing looking to buy some. The woman at the store apologized and told him they had just closed. He said, "Well, I have a $100 bill," and she opened back up to sell him some rum. She said there were $25 a bottle, but unfortunately she could not make change, and he said, "Well, I'll take four bottles." She said, "What about me?" He said, "Okay, I'll take three." And that's how he came to be walking down the beach with three bottles of rum. He sat two of the bottles in the sand and opened one for a taste test. So Jess, Tripp, Robert, Brett, and myself all took a big swig straight from the bottle, feeling like Captain Jack Sparrow on the shores of the island. With everything closed and the sun getting low, we headed back to Rendezvous to prepare for dinner. As Tripp prepared our taco and quesadilla dinner, I went down to my cabin to lay down for a minute. I wound up taking about a 20-minute unplanned nap, but it was nice. It had been a long day, and I was more tired than I realized. Brett and crew had invited us over for pork tenderloin, but having had it twice already, we decided to have our taco dinner. They then invited us over for games, which sounded good. Lindsay was already in her pajamas and in for the night, and Tripp said he would stay with her, so I hopped in the dinghy and headed over to a pre-ski by myself to enjoy games for the night. It was fun hanging out with that crew again, and we had a great time playing trivia that Brett had created, DJ High Pocket style. After wrapping up the game, TJ and I hopped in the dinghy and headed back to Rendezvous. Aubrey was going to take a shower before Brett brought her over in his dinghy. TJ and I talked a little bit and recapped the day while we prepared for bed and waited for Aubrey to arrive. I took a shower and hopped in the bed. There was still just a little bit of residual diesel fume smell in my cabin, but not enough to keep me from sleeping in my own bed. It had been a long day, and I was exhausted. I'm hoping once again our luck changes tomorrow. I really need a quick and easy fix for the transmission issue so that we can continue our planned itinerary. Thanks for tuning into the show. Be sure to subscribe and have future episodes automatically docked into your favorite podcast player. Until then, anchors away.